when we speak of basic things, we speak of those things that are foundational. When we speak of basic things, we are talking about those things which no progress can be made in any particular area without the basic first being put in place. Some divine basics. In the first lesson, we look at the truth. It's the fact that there are much ignorance in reference to the Almighty God and His will, His plan of salvation. And the very way that the Almighty God deals with man, we look on the fact that many believe that the Almighty God planned it, wanted it, and predestined it that some of us ultimately must end up in hell, and some of us ultimately must end up in heaven. That God fixed it like that. Now, I'm not here saying that's the way it is. I'm telling you what the belief out there. Referred to as unconditional predestination. If that were so, then it encourages some men and women to live in total ungodliness and hopelessness. If a man reached the point where he believes that he's one of those who was made for hell, what that does to him is creating himself a condition where moral and ethical and religious principle no more guide his life. Since he's going to hell anyway, let him just live the way he wants here. And then on the other side, if it is a fact that God fixed it that some of us must end up in heaven, what that does is cause men and women to be irresponsible and to be careless, because the thinking is, you see, no matter what we do, me I go ultimately come around to end up in heaven. So me can do what me want here, since I feel I'm one of those that God made for heaven. Those doctrines are very dangerous, to say the least. We also pointed out last week the danger and the eternal deadliness that ignorance poses. Ignorance in any area is bad, but when we are ignorant in the spiritual religious area, that is very bad. We have looked at the passage of Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18 last week. We're not going to stop there. No, we just point it out because we have looked at it last week. There are some things I am trying to make sure we get to them today. But the passage of Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 tells us that ignorance is not as innocent as some of us make it. Ignorance is deadly. We also last week examined the divine scriptural truth that God wishes and God wants all persons to be saved from sin and eternal condemnation. God wishes that and God wants all men to be saved, not just some. We pointed out last week that not only is the truth that God wishes that and wants all men to be saved, but that the Almighty God has made provision. You see, you can wish something, but you do not put anything in place to achieve it. God wants men to be saved. He wished men, every man, every woman to be saved. Doesn't matter how ungodly you see the man or the woman out there, how wicked. God would like that person to come around and embrace Jesus' will. But not only does the Almighty God wish that all men be saved, the Almighty God has made provision through Jesus Christ at Calvary for the forgiveness and salvation of every man and every woman. Passage like John 3, 14 through 18, Romans chapter 5, 18 through 20, addresses those truths. And because we had read those passages last week, that's why I'm not calling that they be read now. Because we want to move on. The passage I mentioned that tells that God made provision in Jesus Christ at Calvary for the salvation, not just for some, but for every man. The passage in Romans gives us the idea that sin will never become so plentiful that sin outperforms God's grace in Christ. The passage in Romans gives us the idea that, okay, let Satan help to put a lot of sin here. He will never be able to put so much sin that what Christ has done at Calvary cannot address those sins. Thanks be to God for that. Not only does God want and made provision for the forgiveness and salvation of all men and women, but God, through Jesus the Christ, is calling all men and women to repentance, to forgiveness, and to salvation. I repeat, because that's where we are going to pick up now, the calling of the Almighty God. So he has not only wished that all men be saved, he has not only made provision that all men and women be saved, or that the sins and trespasses of all men and women can be taken care of because of the provision in Jesus Christ. Are you one of those men or women who think you are so sinful that nothing can deal with your sin? You are mistaken. Give your life to Jesus Christ, and he will make you a new person. But not only that, I'm talking about the provision made.
I'm saying he has not only made provision, he's calling men and women to himself.
God, in one form or the other, has always been calling men and women.
Wait. What that does for me, Brother Mitchell?
It's telling you that God has positive interest in you. Not just negative. God is not one who just sit there wanting you to go to hell.
Now, the holiness of God will see to it that if we serve sin, or if we do not give up sin, if we do not repent, we will end up in hell. God's holiness will see to that.
But that's not God's first initiative. God's initiative is that he wants each one of us to be saved. Are we all there? And God has always been seeking sinners.
Can we run to the book of Genesis?
Yes, way back there in the beginning.
Chapter 3.
Way back there in the beginning, God shows that, in fact, seeking sinner characterizes God.
Did I see Genesis chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 8 and 9?
And they heard the voice of the Lord God.
Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking
in the garden.
In the garden.
In the cool of the day.
In the cool of the day.
And Adam and his wife.
Adam and his wife Eve, that is.
Hid themselves.
Hid themselves. Wait. Watch here. The idea the scripture gives you is that God had visited them previously. But they had never had reason to hide themselves. But you see, now that sin has spoiled the relationship between man and God, man now thinks he had then reason to hide himself.
Are we all there? Read, brother. Hid themselves.
From the presence of the Lord God.
From the presence of the Lord God.
Amongst the trees of the garden.
They hide themselves among the trees, quoting them. They didn't realize you can't hide from God. That's right. And do you know that men and women today think they can hide from God? You cannot. Read.
And the Lord God called unto Adam.
The Almighty God called. You know, remember why we came here? That God is always seeking our calling sinner. Always.
And said,
because most of the lesson today will deal with God's calling sinners.
Wait, by that I don't forget that by that I also include that even men and women who have come to Jesus Christ and are drifting, becoming unfaithful, backslide, God is calling them back to himself.
Hide them. Read.
And said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Where art thou?
Wait, start that part again.
And the Lord God called unto Adam.
God called to Adam.
And said unto him,
uh-huh.
Where art thou?
Where are you? Stop there, brother. The Almighty God is still calling sinners today. And you know what? Sinners are still hiding from God. I'm here this morning to beg you not to play hide and seek with God. You know why? It's in our best interest that we be found by God.
That's right. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell?
It's good for you when God finds you. So don't hide from God. And he's calling you. Just like
He called Adam. That is just one passage. When we turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 29, here again we see God is calling in a different form. Let us hear verse 29 of the book of Jeremiah 22.
O earth.
O earth.
Earth.
Earth. Earth. Earth. Wait. You notice this is about King, if my memory serves me right, King Ezekiah. Watch here now. The Almighty God saw the danger of this king of Judah. And the whole chapter of Jeremiah 22 is about Ezekiah.
Earth. Hear the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus, this is what God says.
Write ye this man childless.
Uh-huh.
A man that shall not prosper in his days.
Uh-huh.
For no man of his seed shall prosper.
Now, hold it, brother. Don't move. Remember, in Jeremiah we have a call or a cry of alarm. A call or a cry of distress. A call or a cry of danger. It is a call or a cry of concern for Zedekiah. Look at verse 19.
He shall be buried with the burial of an ass.
Wait. It's the same thing, you know. I'm just helping you to make a little connection. The entire chapter deals with this king, Zedekiah. The distress that will come upon him. The danger that he faced. The alarm that's going to come his way and in his kingdom. Verse 19 tells part of it. Read.
He shall be buried with the burial of an ass.
No one of us wants to be buried like an ass. Huh? None of us want to be buried like an animal. Mm-hmm. But that's how terrible it's going to be for this thing. Read on.
Drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon.
He's going to be drawn. That is the way when an animal dies, you just tie a piece of rope and pull the body where you want to get rid of the carcass of that animal. The Almighty God is saying this is what's going to happen to King Zedekiah. So in verse 29, when the Almighty God says, earth, that is a call or a cry. But you also have a cry or a call in Proverbs. What we are doing, taking a few minutes to do, is look on the fact that God has always been calling men and women, calling sinners. Look at Proverbs 1. In fact, many considered Proverbs 1 an evangel, rather an Old Testament evangel. That is, it's an Old Testament passage that is like an evangelistic call. Many see Proverbs 1 in that light. Many theologians. Let us hear chapter 1, verse 20 through 23.
Wisdom crieth without.
Wisdom crieth without. But remember, Jesus Christ is God's wisdom. What crieth without, brother?
Wisdom crieth
without.
She uttered.
That could prophetically be talking about Jesus Christ. Because in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 24 and verse 30, we are told that Jesus Christ is God's wisdom. But let us hear it, brother. Wisdom cried without.
She uttereth her voice in the streets.
She uttered her voice in the street.
She crieth in the chief place of concourse.
She cried in the chief place of
concourse.
Concourse, that is where men and women meet for discussion and other activities.
In the openings of the gates.
They cry in the opening of the gate.
In the city.
They cry in the city.
She uttereth her word, saying,
say,
how long?
How long?
Ye simple ones.
Ye simple ones.
Will ye love simplicity?
Will you love simplicity?
And the corners delight in thy scorning.
Mm-hmm.
And the fool hates knowledge.
You notice in the passage, wisdom is calling the wise, the ignorant, the wayward, and those who are fallen, and those who feel hopeless. Read on a little further, brother.
Turn you at my reproof.
Turn you. You see, this is a call from God, an Old Testament call. Wait. You notice the word turn represent our word repent. That's right. Turn you
at my reproof.
At my reproof.
Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you.
That now here the passage is telling the blessing that will come from God when you respond positively to his call. I will pour out my spirit
unto you.
Unto you.
I will make known my words.
I will make known my words.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Because I have called.
Watch here now. That I think is verse 24.
Yes.
we talk about the call of God. That the Almighty God has always been calling men and women. Now notice the passage. What verse 24 says, brother?
Because I have called,
mm-hmm.
and ye refused.
Because I have called, and you refuse. Are you refusing the call of Jesus Christ? Are you turning your back on the gospel call? Are you walking away from the invitation that Jesus Christ is extending to you? Listen. And listen carefully, because the passage here is telling us that eternal doom and misery when God's call is ignored. When men and women do not respond positively to God's call, you're calling upon yourself eternal misery. Read on, brother.
I have stretched out my hand,
uh-huh.
and no man regarded.
Uh-huh.
But he hath set at naught all my counsel,
uh-huh.
and would none of my reproof.
Uh-huh.
I also will laugh at your calamity.
This passage, notice, it didn't say if your calamity comes. I will laugh at your calamity, which means when men and women ignore God's call, calamity going to come. And notice this. You see, it is based on the character of the call. What
watch some of the things that came up in the passage. I have called. That's verse 24. Am I right?
Yes. Because
we
I have called.
We are looking on the character of the call. And it is because of the kind of call that God extends that this eternal calamity is going to come on men and women who do not respond to God's law. So, in respect to the character of the call, we see, I have called.
Yeah.
I have called. In verse 24 also, read.
Because I have called and you refuse.
Read.
I have stretched out my hand.
Notice, he did not only call. Are we all there? Notice the imagery. I call. But
you refuse.
In grace, I am stretching out my hand saying, come now, please. You see, this is what makes when you refuse God's call of grace, it's going to be so terrible. Not only do I call, I stretch out my hand. Read verse 25.
But he has set at naught all my counsel.
Wait. Watch it. That verse there gives you the idea that for these people, there was no tug of war in respect to whether they should obey or not. Are we there? There was no conflict when they heard the call. You know, I would like to answer it, but such a... No. Verse 25 is giving you the idea that they outrightly reject the call. Are we all there? You cannot reject God's call and don't suffer terribly for it. That's what this passage is telling us. About God's calling.
And with none of my reproof.
None of my reproof. Are we all there? Don't treat God's call lightly. May I? Remember where we are, the fact that not only has the Almighty God wished that all men be saved, not only has he made provision for the salvation and the forgiveness of all men, but the Almighty God is also calling sinners to himself. God may use many things to get our attention. Watch here. God may use tragedy to get our attention. God may use fear to get our attention. God may use suffering to get our attention. God may use sickness to get our attention. Are we all there? Let us look at wait, I'm making a little distinction between what suffering, tragedy, catastrophe, etc. does getting our attention as against what the gospel does. Because I'm about to show you that the bottom line for God, those of us living this side of the cross of Christ, is that he's calling us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Almighty God, as I said, used other means to get our attention. And we must keep that in mind. Look at the book. The book, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15. I think I want verse 3 and 4. 2 Chronicles, that is. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15, verse 3 and 4.
Now, a long season, Israel hath been without the true God.
Start again, brother Wade.
Now, for a long season.
For a long season.
Israel has been without the true God.
They have been without the true God. Wait. You notice it qualified the God. That's important. You know why that is important, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? You always have the true thing and the counterfeit thing. That's right. You have the true church and you have counterfeit churches. You have the true gospel and you have counterfeit gospel. You have true worship and you have counterfeit worship. You must keep that in mind. For a long time Israel had been without the true God. Read that.
And without a teaching priest.
And without a teaching priest. And the Almighty God has always have someone in place to teach His ways. When that is absent, you have problem. And without a teaching priest, watch here, read.
And without law.
And without law.
But when
they... Watch here now. But when
they in their trouble...
In their trouble...
Did turn unto the Lord God of Israel...
Uh-huh.
And sought Him...
And sought Him...
He was found of them.
When did they turn to Him, brother?
In their trouble.
When?
In their trouble.
Isn't that like human beings? Isn't that like us when things are going nice, smoothly, successfully? It's like we do not need God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today to tell you that is the time we need God. When things are going nice. Because a lot of times, wait. When they in their
trouble. Did turn.
But wait, brother. Sometimes God allowed these troubles to come. It comes sometimes, as I've said, in the form of sickness. Are we there? In the form of suffering. In the form of tragedy. In the form of fear. Are we all there? Read.
Did turn unto the Lord God of Israel.
When trouble came, you know what that did? It caused them to look up. In fact, that is one passage that telling us that suffering is redemptive. The other passage is Psalms 119, verse 67 and verse 71. Let us hear it.
Repeat.
Psalms 119, verse 67, I think, and verse 71.
Before I was afflicted.
Before I was afflicted. Wait. Before affliction came my way.
I went astray.
Where I went?
Astray.
Brother Webb, that means I did my own thing. I didn't pay much attention to God's will. I didn't care much about God's will. Before I was afflicted, I went astray.
But now.
You know what? That means now, after affliction came.
I have kept thy word.
Where are we? I'm still on the point trying to help you understand that God may use many things to get our attention. But that does not diminish the important call that the gospel represents. The brothers just read verse 67. Listen, verse 71.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
Wait, none of us, when we are going through affliction, think that it is good. None of us. But here is a wise man who, having seen what the affliction did to him, it brought him closer to the Almighty God, and he then realized that the affliction had served a good purpose. If you are here not a child of God, if you are here as an unbeliever, what will God have to use to bring you to your senses? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, step back
but,
to
but
verse 31.
But now I have kept thy word.
Now I have kept thy word. God doesn't want us to wait until we are afflicted to keep his word. When things are going nicely, smoothly, successfully, turn to God in a sincere way. But look at Acts 9 and verse 6. All these passages are dealing with the fact that the Almighty God may use tragedies, fear, suffering, sickness, etc. to get our attention. Let us hear Acts 9, 6.
And he trembling
and
astonished said,
uh-huh.
Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Yeah. Christian and visitor, did you know that this is not the first time? Now, it is the first time that Saul confronted Jesus Christ this way. But Saul has been hearing the messages from God's word, from God's servant. When they stoned the preacher Stephen, Saul was one of those who hold their garment. He could have responded to God's call then. But he didn't. No, we might talk about Lord where you are if you do. The Almighty God had to use. Are we all there? The Almighty God had to use, are we all there? Blindness. To enable this man to see that he needs Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Look at another case. Acts 16:29-30. All these cases are showing that the Almighty God may use tragedy, fear, suffering, sickness, etc. to get people's attention, especially men and women who have not made any commitment to Christ. Read.
Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas.
Brother, you know, it seems a lot of these converts in the New Testament, God had to make them tremble before they respond. Because the one you have just read in chapter 9, Saul, he trembled. And here you have another trembler. That's right. God sometimes have to put the fear of God in man to bring men and women to their senses. But here is it. You don't want that. And God wishes that you would respond to him under normal situation. Trembling, say.
Well, trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And
that thy man house. Became a Christian that same night. But the Almighty God had to use fear to get the man's attention. Are we here? But may I? With all the tragedies, the fear, the suffering, the sickness, whatever, that God may sometimes use to get man's attention, it is the gospel by which Jesus Christ is calling men and women to himself now. The gospel. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? Every time you hear a true message from the word of Christ from the gospel, God is calling you. I mean every time. You mean Mr. Mitchell is calling me now, right now? Let us hear the passage of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Let us hear it.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
To them who are the called.
Notice, Brother Webb, to them who are
the called.
The called. This means those who have responded to Jesus' call. Remember that. The call here in verse 28 at the book of Romans chapter 8, which the brothers just read. The call is referring to those who have responded positively to God's call. It is for those that all things work together for good. Men and women. And wait. It also implies that God is calling. Because the called are those who have responded to God's call. That is God's call in Jesus Christ. Look at the passage. That was Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, 14. Let us hear it.
Whereunto He calls you by our gospel.
You hear by what He called us?
By our gospel.
By the gospel. May I, brothers and sisters? The call of suffering, etc., may get our attention and sometimes do other things. But may I? The call of the gospel make us receptive and teachable. May I? Every true gospel message preached to you is a call of the gospel from Jesus Christ. Every time you hear a true gospel message, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Quick, brother, time is running out. Let us hear it. Ephesians 5:14.
Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest.
Watch here. Did you know that this is one of the ways God is calling men and women? We're going to speak about this passage in a little more. But let us hear it again.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
One, this is a call of Jesus Christ. This is a call of the gospel. Sleep, in this context, and in Romans chapter 13, we may run to it in a little while. Sleep typifies the sinner. It's important that we get this. The passage here is talking either to sinners, are Christians who have backslidden or in the process of backsliding. And what the passage is giving us is that sleep represents the men and women who have not yet been awakened to their need for Jesus Christ. Sleep points to men and women who are still walking in darkness. Sleep refers to men and women who, if I may, from scriptural point of view, men and women who are not conscious,
You know that when we are sleeping, we are not conscious. We are sort of in a dead world. Let me hear the passage again, brother.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead.
You hear? Sleep. A person sleeping is like a dead person. And the sinner is the man or woman that God considered dead in sin. That's right. Verse 14, finish.
And Christ shall give thee life.
Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. Quick, brother.
And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
You hear again the same imagery? Are we all there? What it say? The word high time, that phrase means you sleep too late. That's what that phrase means, you know. It's high time to awake out of sleep. The sleepers here are the men and women who are still in sin, are Christians who are unfaithful, who are not working for Christ. The Bible here, the passage here is saying, it's time you get up. It's time you open your eyes. It's time you wake up. Read, brother.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
That means our ultimate salvation is closer than when we became a Christian 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. Our ultimate salvation is closer. Either in terms of death or in terms of judgment. Yeah. Both of them. Did you become a Christian 6 months ago? Your ultimate salvation is today closer.
Yeah.
Because if you became a Christian 6 months ago, it means 6 months after today, you are either closer to your grave or closer to judgment. So the passage that our salvation is nearer than we just believe, when we first believe, is telling us that we're marching to the ultimate. Are we all there?
Yeah. The night is far spent.
Wait, you get that? What is saying? It's before day. Then far spent. That is, the night is used up. You shouldn't be in bed until now. Brother Mitchell, interpret that again for me. You shouldn't be in sin until now. It's time to wake up. Turn to the light. The night
is far spent.
Wait, brother. The night is far gone. You see, and you're still asleep. That means you are still in sin. And time is catching up on you. The night is far gone. Far spent. What happens when the night is gone?
The day is at hand.
The day is at hand.
Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness.
You see, this is why sleep represents the man or woman in sin. It's a cast off the work. You see, you sleep at night. And for the ungodly, the backslider, in sin, not taking Christ and Christ's word seriously, they are still asleep. And Jesus Christ is saying, wake up. You are asleep too late. You are in danger. Huh? Are we all there? Awake is not the word we see in Romans 13, brother. Romans 13, 11 and 12.
Yes.
It's not the word awake.
Awake out of sleep.
Awake out of, may I? Awake is the voice of love. When a house is on fire and a person say, awake, they love you and care for you and don't want the fire to consume you. Awake is the voice of wisdom
When the peace is breaking in your house at night and your neighbor calls to you, saying somebody is breaking in. But awake is also the cry of command where duty calls. And your duty is to Jesus Christ.
And finally, just a few statements here. Jesus Christ, we're not going to able to exhaust this, but I definitely not coming back to this lesson next week. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, 28, and Revelation 3, 20. Quick, brother. I have just a few minutes.
Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest.
What Jesus Christ is implying here is that all the labor and the toil you are putting out for worldly and ungodly things,
they do not bring the satisfaction that Jesus Christ wants to give. They don't. Come, Christ says. This indicates effort. You cannot lie still. You cannot be indifferent to Jesus' call. Come. There must be initiative. Come implies effort. Not sit still waiting for something to happen.
Many men and women are there. I'm waiting until Jesus Christ calls me. And you know what they mean? They are waiting until somebody come and wake them up out of their sleep, or until they have some nightmare and go telling lie and God that God tell them to become a Christian in their dream last night. God will not call you like that. That dream, that nightmare was because you eat late. That's right. God is calling you through the gospel. Every time you hear a true message from God's word, Jesus Christ through that message is saying to you, come. And that come implies effort on your part. That comes implies that you cannot remain where you are and serve God. You have to make a move toward Jesus Christ. That's what that comes in. The brothers just read it in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May I? God's earthquake event for your salvation had already taken place at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Mr. Mitchell, I didn't get that. I said God's earthquake event took place at Calvary with Jesus Christ on the cross paying the price for your sin. That was God's earthquake of event. It represents love. It represents interest. It represents God's call to you. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up. Do you know what that is talking about? Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin. That was an earthquake event by God. So don't expect. And you know, on top of that, God is still calling with a stretch out arms of love, saying, come unto me. The passage in Revelation, quick brother, since I bring it up quick, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, I think, 3 and 20.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
You hear? Brother Mitchell, which door? The church door? In this case, it's the door of your heart.
Say.
Really, your mind. Open to, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, I thought you were preaching about calling. That knock is a calling.
Yeah.
Read.
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
Brother, have your invitation ready. you notice? May I? I will come in and sup with him. There were at least two main meals that the Jews had. But if my memory serves, the evening meal was the one that they didn't rush through. That was the meal that they settled down. In fact, it is said, how we say it, animal is fed, but human being dine. You see, when you are dining, you settle down and you enjoy the food. You don't rush through it. And the meal under consideration here is the one where Jesus Christ said, if you open to him, he doesn't want a pastor's body. People say, you eat and go up for them, say, you're near man going. As they're country people. But that's not the meal. Christ doesn't want to have that type of meal. Just eat and go. He wants to sit down and fellowship with you. If you will open to him, Christ wants a relationship with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ is calling you to come. Remember, the prodigal son, he would never have recovered his lost home had he stayed in the far country. Remember that. He would never have recovered his father's home that was lost to him had he stayed in the far country. Are we there? In verse 13 of the book of Luke. Don't read it. We're not going there. Just for those who may want to read it. In verse 13 of the book of Luke chapter 15, it talks about the far country. Every man, every woman who is outside of Jesus Christ, who is not a Christian, you are in the far country. When you are away from Jesus Christ, you typify the prodigal son in the far country. Or the prodigal son in the far country typifies you when you are outside of Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman, you are far away from Christ. We are asking you now to come. Respond positively to Jesus' invitation, which says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you it. Jesus Christ is calling men and women. He does not only want all men and women to be saved. He does not only make provision for all men and women to be saved. He's calling all men and women to himself right now. Will you turn away from Jesus' call this morning? Let us stand as you will come to form an alliance, to form a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us stand.